Welcome to week 7 of the Lose Weight Fast Academy. Just 2 weeks left of this program, so I'm sure you've seen amazing results so far, and just keep going. 2 more weeks to go until you can see them final results of the end of the 8-week program. So if you're watching this video, you probably come to the end of the ketosis protocol, well, the 4 days of last week's of the week 6 diet. So I know it's been tough that week, but you will lose a tremendous amount of weight. So just keep going with that ketosis protocol, and then when you start this week on the Monday, you can start eating for your metabolic burner type again. It'll become far easier again. So this week, before we go into this week's diet, we're going to look at food preparation and general cooking guidelines, as well as looking at emotional eating and looking why people emotional eat and how we can put things in place to prevent that. So for the best success of your program, it's important that you eat for your metabolism burning type. However, it is also vital that the quality and the state of the foods you select, as well as the manner in which you prepare these foods, is given equal consideration as well. Because it's not just eating for your burner type, eating good foods. You've got to prepare them. They've got to be good quality as well to get all the vitamins, minerals, nutrients and enzymes from the food as well. So there's vast differences between organically raised and inorganically raised food, but there's also big differences between the nutrient value of food in its natural state and after modern processes as well, and also big differences between raw foods and foods that have been overcooked. So we're going to look into this. So yeah, not just eating good foods, you're preparing them right, making sure they're going through the best methods to get the most out of the foods that you eat. So natural raw food, so what's the big deal with natural raw food? Well, through the evolutionary processes over countless generations of natural selection, genetic mutation, adaptation, survival of the fittest, our metabolisms have become genetically programmed to utilise whole natural foods for the good of our health and well-being. Now, our ancestors thrived on fresh food taken directly from the plant and animal kingdoms. It's only been the last 75 years that food has been altered, so it's very important to get back to these natural foods to get the most out of them. So foods that have been altered in any way are no longer considered food. So if they've been treated by any of these methods, if they're synthetic, been preserved, softened, hardened, thinned, thickened, coloured, taste enhanced, stabilised, harmonised, antibiotic treated, sweetened, flavoured, if it's had any of these processes, it's not in its natural state. Now, so many foods that you buy in the shops these days have had some of these processes added to them. That's why we're saying eating fresh, whole, natural foods, because it's got, they won't have been had any of these processes done to them, so they'll be more fresh, more natural, and they'll contain more of the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that are going to help you. Now, the foods that have been altered may have been done so using any one or any number of the over 10,000 man-made chemicals used for such purposes, and there's probably even more. By the time you're watching this, there's probably more than 10,000, because there's just so many chemicals these days that are being added to our food. Now, these substances have no nutritious effects whatsoever. They're adverse to good health, as they're irritating, toxic, and even cause cancers as well. So that's why we're eating more natural, organic, fresh foods, because we want to stay away from all of these chemicals which are harmful for your body. If you want to be healthy, a good rule is, if your ancestors 10,000 years ago didn't eat a food, you shouldn't either. So foods you eat want to be fresh, natural foods. The meats, the vegetables, the fruits as well, it's all natural. Anything that isn't natural, then you want to keep it out of your diet. You should have been doing that from the start of the program, but I want you to keep doing this in the future after the program as well. So keep eating natural foods and you'll be a lot healthier and you'll maintain your weight by doing so. So eating foods that aren't natural whole foods depletes the nutritional value of our food. Not only that, if we don't prepare the food properly or we overcook them, then we can destroy the enzymes which are essential for the chemical reactions in our body to take place. So without these enzymes, life cannot exist. So not only should you be eating good foods, you've got to prepare them properly. Make sure you don't overcook them. If you overcook them, it's not going to have as many enzymes, vitamins and minerals in the foods, and it's not going to make us as healthy. So some of the activity of enzymes include the help to digest food to a size capable of being absorbed into the blood. So if you don't have them, then you're not going to digest foods as good. They're also important to rebuild food into the tissue of muscle, bones, organs and glands. So if you're not having, if there's not a lot of enzymes in your food, then it's not going to help rebuild the muscle tissues as better. It also helps to store food in the liver and the muscles as well. So if you don't have enough enzymes, then you're not going to store it and you won't be able to use it at a later day. It also attaches iron to red blood cells, helps eliminate carbon dioxide from the lungs, promotes oxidation, it attacks waste material in the blood and prepares it for elimination as well. Enzymes also change protein into sugar or fat, change carbohydrate into fat, and change fat into carbohydrate. So enzymes are very, very important, which is why we need to try and get as many of them in the foods as possible. Now, unfortunately, all too many people eat a diet which is not only high in unnatural, chemicalized, processed and nutrient-depleted food, but they'll also eat a large percentage of cooked food which has totally destroyed the enzyme content. So, yes, you've been following the program, you've been eating healthier foods, so you're better than these people who are eating the chemicalized, unnatural, processed foods, but at the same time, if you overcook them, you're not going to be getting the enzyme content that you want. So as a result of all this, the body is forced to use its own enzymes to help digest the food that might otherwise be used in rebuilding bodily tissues, another important metabolic activities as well. So if you're not getting enough enzymes in, you're just not going to be generally as healthy. So it's very important to preserve the enzyme content in your foods that you eat. So this enzyme shortage that people have helps contribute to metabolic imbalances, inefficiency and degeneration of the body. And many researchers also believe this to be a contributing factor in premature aging and obesity as well. Now, raw food contains enzymes which may help replenish your body's enzyme pools, as well as to actually help digestion as well. So it's important not to overcook your foods when you're eating them, to get all these enzymes which are going to help your body, help you be fitter, help you be healthier, and help you lose weight faster. So as an integral part of your health building program, it is important not only to select whole natural foods and organic wherever possible, but you need to prepare them as well. Eliminate any toxin substances on your foods, and also prepare them so you get the maximum nutrient and enzyme value out of them as well. So first thing you do is clean your food. Now, especially vegetables and fruit, anytime you're eating vegetables and fruit, thoroughly rinse them with water as well. And you can also buy organic fruit soap as well, and you can get all the pesticides off it. So even if they're organic and they're fresh and natural foods, it can still have residues of pesticide and chemicals on them. So if you scrub them, wash them beforehand, it's going to completely eliminate a lot more of these chemicals. Also, we want to use the correct cooking oils as well. Now, many commonly used cooking oils can be harmful when they're heated. For example, olive oil shouldn't really be heated. When it does, it changes it, so it's not quite as healthy when it. Certain other oils as well. So if you check the cooking with fat and oil tutorial, which is on the website, you can download that and see which oils and fats are the best to be used for the different purposes. Also, food temperature is very, very important to preserve enzymes and the nutrients in it as well. Now, enzyme activity diminishes after the food being 116 degrees, and enzymes are totally destroyed at 220 degrees. Now, that's not cooking them at that same temperatures, it's the food actually reaching them temperatures. So you want to make sure the food doesn't reach these temperatures in order to have the nutrients and the enzymes. So for this reason, it's always preferable to cook food as little as possible and at as a low temperature as possible. So make sure that you're not cooking them for a long time at a high temperature. So you always want to keep the temperature as low as possible. So it's much better to cook it for longer at a lower temperature than it is for shorter than a higher temperature. But you also don't want to cook it too long as well when you're doing that. But keep it at lower temperature as much as possible to stop them enzymes from diminishing. Cooking vegetables as well. So whenever you're cooking vegetables, ideally you should have them when they're raw and fresh, but a lot of people's digestive systems can't take them raw and fresh, so that's why you need to cook them. So the best way to cook vegetables is to steam them, because boiling destroys the nutrient content and leaks it into the water as well. So if you're steaming them, be careful not to overcook them. Yes, you can boil them, but try and steam them far, far better. Now, vegetables should be a little crunchy and maintain their bright colour, and they shouldn't be soggy. So if they're soggy, they're overcooked. Other good ways of cooking vegetables are baking, quick stir frying, and if you're going to stir fry, do it in water rather than oils and fats. And then you can put the olive oil or the coconut oil on afterwards, but preferably cook them, stir fry them in the water first. But best way for vegetables is either eating raw or steaming them. Now, because a lot of people's digestive systems, you might not be able to eat raw vegetables, and you do need a good digestive system. And if you are eating raw vegetables, you must chew them and make sure they come soggy first as well. Make sure you chew them like 20-30 times, become the mush, so you can digest them easier. Cooking meat as well, that's very important to know how to cook meat. Now, meat best retain their juices, flavours, enzymes and nutrients when cooked at low temperatures and as little as possible as well. So yes, if you're cooking at low temperature, it might have to be longer than when you cooked it at a higher temperature, but it's far better because it'll maintain more juices. But even still, try not to put overcook it, don't leave it on too long. Preferable means of cooking meat is roasting, broiling and baking. Ideally, meat should be cooked rare, or at least the center should be rare as well, so rare, medium to rare. This will allow some enzymes to remain in the meat for consumption. Now, if you cook it all the way through, like a lot of people do, then it's not going to have any of these enzymes and flavors and juices. So rare, medium rare is how you should cook the meat. So a little bit of blood in there, that's when you're getting all these enzymes from the meat. So do not overcook meat. It's very important if you want to get the most from the food that you're eating. Cooking fish. Now, fish needs to only be cooked for a few minutes, but you've got to ensure it's been cooked all the way through as well. But it's only a couple of minutes that you need to cook fish. Now, preferable methods of cooking fish are baking, broiling, poaching and steaming. Now, if you do use any of these methods, and then the liquid from the fish can be used for stock as well, so you're not wasting anything, but it only has to be a couple of minutes. Yes, make sure it's cooked all the way through, but don't overcook it at the same time. And again, you don't want to cook it at too high a temperature. Cooking poultry. Now, before you cook poultry, ideally remove the skin, especially off all non-organic poultry. If it's organic, then if you want to keep it in the skin, that's a little bit better. But if it's non-organic, definitely take the skin out, because that holds toxins and chemicals in it. And you should do this before cooking as well. Now, poultry may be baked or stewed. Now, it should be cooked at low temperatures as well, especially low for stewing. So, for example, a chicken may be placed in a pot and covered with pure water and cooked for 8 hours at 200 degrees overnight. That's the temperature of the cook. That's not necessarily the chicken. So, you need to keep an eye on the temperature of the chicken. It doesn't go over too high, the actual temperature of the chicken. Now, the next morning, if you haven't already took the skin off, discard the skin, debone the chicken. The meat might be refrigerated and used for soups, salads, stir-fried vegetables, whatever you want. And then you can use the water for stock as well. But it's very important to cook it at a low temperature, so you're keeping as many of the enzymes into the poultry as possible as well. So cooking eggs. Now, you probably find out you've eaten a lot more eggs than you normally have throughout this program, and you'll be, what about cholesterol? Well, cholesterol has got nothing really to do with eggs anyway, for a start. But eggs do contain an enzyme known as avidin, which means they should be preheated in the shells for 5 minutes in water from 140 to 160 degrees, which is the equivalent of very hot tap water. Now, this will deactivate the avidin, which is just inside the membrane of the shell of the egg. Otherwise, the avidin will disrupt the normal activities of the nutrient biotin, which, among other things, helps to reduce cholesterol risks in eating eggs. So it's important, heat it before you eat them. Just heat it up, and it'll just help reduce the chance of getting cholesterol. But in general, don't worry about the amount of eggs eaten. It's got nothing to do with cholesterol. You can get cholesterol eating a vegetarian diet and not having any meat and eggs and stuff like that. So don't worry about the cholesterol. If you're following this diet, eating for your metabolic type, it's gonna reduce cholesterol anyway. So to preserve as much beneficial nutrient value from eggs, the best lightly cooked and soft boiling or poaching, and avoid cooking them or boiling them for any length of time. So the best way is definitely poaching and boiling your eggs, best methods to cook them. So cooking methods to avoid: you shouldn't fry. Now if you're going to fry, do it in water. So don't cook with water and a wok, and then you can add the coconut oil, butter, olive oil afterwards, but try not to fry them in the fat and butter. Also avoid microwaving. Now not as enough is known about the long term effects, but there are many more arguments against microwaving than for it. Now microwaving has been shown to change the molecular structure of food or something other than what the body has recognized as food for millions of years. So even if it's a healthy food, like chicken, any kind of meat or vegetables, if you whack it in the microwave, then it's going to change the structure of it, and it's not going to have the desired effect. It's not going to have all the vitamins, minerals and nutrients. So avoid microwaving wherever possible. Now sometimes if you're in a rush you might have to use it, but wherever possible avoid microwaving. Now another thing to avoid is salt. Don't add salt to the foods until after they've been cooked, and even then you should only be using celery or sea salt, which is the purest sea salt available. So make sure not to cook in salt. It's just not as good for you doing it that way, so you should just add the salt afterwards. So also you should avoid using certain cooking utensils as well, because if you use certain cooking utensils, the leaks into the food that you're having and becomes highly toxic. So one of the most important things to avoid is aluminium. Now aluminium is a highly toxic metal. Large numbers of molecules enter the food that is cooked in aluminium or stored in aluminium or covered by it, and once it leaks into your foods it like poisons your body. So try and stay away from aluminium cutlery and cooking utensils as much as possible. Also avoid Nalgene products. Now Nalgene water bottles have been used for hydration for sports people for years, but scientific evidence has shown that the plastic used to make these bottles pose serious health hazards. In fact, they've been massively linked to cancer, so make sure you avoid these plastics, Nalgene products. Plastic safer to use include polypropylene, high density polyethylene and low density polyethylene. So they're more better ones for you, but stay away from these plastics as much as possible, because there's a massive link with cancer in these plastics. Now what we're going to do is have a little look into emotional eating. Now people struggle immensely with this. Like, this is one of the biggest things of cheating on your diet. Something will happen in your life, or you'll come in from work stressed. Some sort of emotion triggers it, and that's when people end up eating foods that they shouldn't have and cheating on the diet. When this happens, they start feeling guilty and they fall off the plan completely. So we want to look at emotional eating so we can try and control it. If we can control the emotional eating, then you limit your chances of cheating on your diet, and you'll also maintain the results for the rest of your life. It'll be a lot easier to maintain. If you ever do cheat on your diet, then just get straight back into eating healthy the next meal. It's not the end of the world like a lot of people think. If something goes wrong in the diet or they miss a few days of exercise, they start feeling guilty, and then all of a sudden everything goes out the window and it gives up. Now one or two bad meals isn't the end of the world. Same with missing a few exercise sessions as well. You just got to get straight back onto it. As soon as, if you do cheat, yes, it's going to affect your brain, which is going to affect your mental. So you're not going to think as good if you do cheat on your diet, which is why you have to make a very conscious effort, if you do eat something bad, the next meal to eat something good again. Because as soon as you start eating good, you'll have good brain chemicals, you'll start thinking well. But as soon as you get into that downward spiral of eating bad foods, then it's hard to get out of. So you've got to make a conscious effort, if you do cheat on your diet or anything, get back into eating good foods again. So in our society today, we use food for many reasons outside of its purposes of for energy needs and for building for the bodies. So food is often used for the centerpiece of social gatherings. It's used for comfort. It's used to obtain good feelings. It's used to cope with bad feelings. And it literally be a central focus on the life, food as well. So food is designed to give you energy and help your body rebuild, and that's its main purpose. There's no denying that food can be one of life's great pleasures, and to deny ourselves completely of the pleasures and feelings that food can provide is counterproductive in the long term, which is why we're allowed to have you allow you to have a cheap meal as well. However, having said that, the emotional relationship you have with food can be the difference between success or failure on your health and fitness journey and losing weight. So if you've got good feelings and a good emotional relationship with food, then it's far easier to stick to a diet. However, if you've got a bad relationship with food in the past, that you use it for other things, to obtain good feelings, for comfort, then it's going to be a lot more difficult to stick to long term. So this is why we're looking at this today, looking at your emotional eating, seeing what we can put in place to help you along so this emotional eating doesn't affect you in the future. So in order to develop a healthy relationship with food that keeps you healthy and fit for the long term, it's imperative to become consciously aware of what you believe about food and how you use food outside of your physical needs. So you've got to become aware of this. So if you have been emotional eating in the past, you've really have got to become aware, know why you do it, and then once you know you're doing it, know what triggers it, then you can put these steps in place. So there's 10 common reasons for emotional eating. There's probably a lot more reasons than this for emotional eating, so these are 10 of the most common reasons for emotional eating. First one is to obtain a good feeling. So yes, food tastes good, can make you feel good, for comfort as well. If people are upset, they'll end up eating comfort eating chocolate because they're upset. Boredom as well, this is one of my big ones. If I'm feeling bored, I will, and that's what I have to struggle with. So out of boredom, people are sitting around watching TV, bored, not feeling good, feeling a bit sorry for themselves, they'll end up eating. Out of habit as well, so maybe every time you watch TV, you're used to having a cup of tea, or used to having a chocolate bar. So out of habit as well. So if you do something and you've associated that with eating, then you can start eating without even thinking about it. For social reasons as well, if people you're going out and you think that you, every time you go out with your friends, you're used to eating a certain meal, that an unhealthy meal, if you kind of associate it going out with your friends, this unhealthy meal. To cope with stressful events, so if you come in from work stressed, you might go reach for the alcohol or reach for the chocolate to fill a void or a missing need. So often a lot of people who are single end up coming home feeling a bit sorry for themselves, eating lots and lots of foods to just fill that void of having a friend or someone or a partner there. So they'll end up drinking alcohol and chocolate, and that just makes the problem worse because it doesn't go away. It just makes them, then after they've ate the bad foods, they just start feeling even more guilty, makes them feel even more rubbish. So it's important not to do this. Also to recapture a feeling or memory associated with food. So maybe you've had food in the past, and at that time you had a happy memory. Maybe you were out for a meal and you had such a good time. So maybe you want to go eat that meal again to try and get that feeling or memory back. Also to cope with depression as well. A lot of people who are depressed emotionally eat as well. Also maybe it's to cope with or in response to other feelings such as anger, loneliness, frustration, disappointment, grief, lack of control, anxiety. Any of these reasons can trigger emotional eating as well. So if you are eating for any of these reasons, then eating to obtain a feeling or escape from a feeling rather than eating for the physical needs or in response to hunger. So that's what it's for. Food is for your physical needs. When you're hungry, you need to repair your body, give your body to have energy. But if you're eating for any of these reasons, then it's more emotional eating. You're not eating because you need food. You're eating because you're after a feeling. And you can get these feelings in other ways rather than food. And that's what you've got to learn. So these are 5 important steps that can help you end emotional eating. We're going to go through them one by one in a minute, but we'll just quickly, briefly go over them now. So first step, you've got to become aware of your emotional eating behaviour pattern. So if you're not aware of it, then how can you change it? So the first thing is become aware of it. So if you find yourself reaching for a chocolate bar to the alcohol, then realise that this is because of emotional eating. It's not because you want it, it's because your emotions are telling you to. So just become aware of it. Now, once you're aware of it, step 2 is to watch out for these thoughts, emotions, events and situations that trigger these patterns. So you know that it happens, now you can start to look for why it's happening. So if you keep noticing certain emotions are making it, you can watch out for them. Try and stay away from these emotions, the vents. If you realise that you emotionally when you get certain thoughts, watch out for them. As soon as you know they're happening, you then the step three is intercept them when they happen. So one, you've become aware, now you've seen the happening, now you've got to intercept them before it takes effect. Once you've done that, you've then got to go on to step four, which is replace the more old emotional eating behaviour with a more constructive alternative or coping mechanism to satisfy the emotional needs. So instead of eating, you might want to replace it with exercise, for example. So you need, if you don't replace it, then you're just going to go back to the old pattern. So you have to replace it with something because you need that feeling. The reason why you're eating is because you need that feeling. So you need to replace it with another behaviour to give you a feeling as well. And then the last step is going to number five, which is establish new beliefs about food and the right reasons for eating. And then you need to repeat this until it becomes hardwired as a new pattern. So if you don't change your beliefs about food, then you're just going to go straight back to it. So step one, become aware of your emotional eating patterns. So one of the biggest challenges with emotional eating is the fact that you may be unaware that it's even occurring. So unless you know about it, you can't change it. So it's very, very important to become aware of it. If you are eating bad foods, regularly cheating on your diet, then there is some emotional eating patterns there. So you've got to become aware of it. So if stress eating or any kind of emotional eating has become a habit, then it's subconscious now, so you do it without even thinking. So if you've been doing it for years and years and years, it's now subconscious. You won't know, so you need to try your best to become consciously aware of it. So now I've been talking about it, you might be like, oh yeah, I can relate to when I've been emotionally eating, but in the past, because you didn't even know why you were doing it, then it was all happened subconscious. But at least now you know to look out for the patterns, you can start to see when they're creeping in and what's in the past has made you cheat on your diet. Now also, neural associations of food which trigger emotional eating often formed at a very young age on a subconscious level as well. So it is difficult to change because something that's happened since you were a child as well. Often as well, it can be happening in babies. So when a baby cries, often one of the first things you do is go give them some milk, and this milk is high carb foods. So this neural association is when you're upset to go and eat higher carb foods. So this can be even from a baby. So very important, it's hard to change, but you have to become aware of it in order to change. If you're not aware of it, you can't change anything. So your habit patterns are going to continue to run unless you break them and replace them with new patterns. So it's just going to keep happening and happening. So you have to break it. That's the most important thing. Break these habits that you've had, maybe for the whole lifetime, and then you need to start replacing them with new patterns. Now, it's not easy to do, but it's very important. Otherwise, you're just going to go back to these old eating habits again. So once you become aware, you can get a break in them. So step two, watch out for thoughts, emotions, events, and situations that trigger emotional eating. So you need to identify all your emotional eating triggers so you can watch out for every situation that may set off old patterns. The good thing is write them all down. So go out there, get a bit of paper, write down everything that you know now that you emotionally eat for, and then you can look out for them patterns in the future. If you find other things that are making you emotionally, write them down as well, because then you can look out for them. Every person has different emotional eating triggers or cues, so some people have lots, some people only have a few, but they're all completely different, so you've got to look out for ones for you. You can't look out for anyone else's, and someone says they emotionally eat for that, yours might be a completely different reason. So look out for what's causing you to emotionally eat. Common triggers include stress, loneliness, boredom, anger, sadness, depression, feeling unappreciated, going to parties, watching TV, work, and even being around specific people. So you've got to watch out for what these triggers are and try and avoid them at all costs. So step three is intercept the pattern when it happens. If you know that these emotions are kicking in, then you've got to intercept it. So when you feel an urge or temptation for the inappropriate behaviour, that's an important moment of decision. Do you go and do it, or do you consciously override that? So by becoming aware, you now have the opportunity to think before you eat. In the past, you would have just went and done it. You would have just felt a bit upset, so you go and eat your chocolate, or you feel lonely, so you go and drink your alcohol, but now you're aware, now you can do something about it, now you don't have to act on it. So it's very important you to consciously get over these emotions. Ask yourself why you're eating. If it's not because you're hungry, then don't have it. Ask yourself, will eating make me feel better, or will it make me feel worse, or will it make me feel more sluggish and guilty? So you're feeling lonely, you go have some alcohol. It might make you feel better for about 2 minutes, and a couple of minutes later, because alcohol's a depressant, you're going to feel even worse. So it doesn't address your problems by emotional eating. It makes these problems far worse. Same with chocolate as well. You might be bored or anything, whatever your emotional eating pattern is. Eat your chocolate, and then you may feel better for about 30 seconds, and about a minute later you're feeling fat, you're feeling bloated, you're feeling sluggish, and it doesn't. So become aware of what your feelings, and ask yourself, is this good for me, or is this bad for me? Is this going to move me closer to my goals, or is it going to move me closer, further away from it? If it's going to move you closer, well, it's not, because it's usually bad eating. It's going to move you further away, so don't do it. So make sure you know consciously, if you go ahead and do it, it's going to move you further away from your goals. So just consciously know that, and you can take a conscious effort to intercept these patterns when they do happen. Now, step 4, it's very important to replace the old behavior with positive alternatives that give you the same feeling. If you don't replace it for anything, then you're using willpower for the time being, but then you're always going to go back to it, because you need this feeling, you want to feel satisfied, and if you're not getting that feeling, you're going to go back to your old pattern. So you need to put something in place to get that feeling. So there is always alternatives and more constructive ways to get this feeling. It's not about the food, it's about the feeling, so you've got to put other things in place to get that feeling. Now, a lot of people believe certain things about food and stuff, and then you might have beliefs that you have to drink alcohol, or you have to eat chocolate in order to get that feeling. You really don't. We need to change these beliefs, and that's what we're going to look at in step 5, but you can change your belief. You might think, well, if I don't drink alcohol now, or if I don't eat chocolate, I'm not going to feel better or anything. That's a bad belief to have, because it's not. These things are actually making you worse. If you haven't chocolate, if you haven't alcohol, they release bad chemicals into your brain, and then you have a bad, poor mindset. So they're not good beliefs to have. So you need to change your beliefs, which we're going to do in step 5. But people eat when they're upset. Well, if you're upset, go and have a workout instead. Do something active. So if you're upset, if you're stressed as well, instead of eating, find a way to relax or go to the gym. Probably the best way to deal with stress is exercising. So go and exercise. Do something different. Don't eat. Just find a different way. You'll have to sit down, have a little think of ways you can use that you can get feeling from rather than food. So you need to think of other ways. Maybe if you're feeling bored, go out for a walk instead of eating. There's plenty of things you can do. Spend more time with your family, see your friends and stuff. And also, some people drink when they're depressed. Instead, talk to a loved one, talk to your partner. Don't just sit there depressed, drinking alcohol, feeling sorry for yourself. Talk to a friend, talk to someone. If you don't feel like you've got friends out there, ask me in the Facebook group, or ask someone else in the Facebook group. Everyone has got people out there. You might think you don't, but there is people who care about you. So just speak to people as well. Exercise and physical movement are some of the absolute best ways to change your feelings. So a feeling is a physiological state, so your mind and body are connected. So when you move your body differently, you change the way you feel. So you're sat here watching this now, you may feel a little bit sluggish because you've been sat down for a long period of time. If you got up now, done 20 jumping squats, you're going to feel happier, you're going to feel more energetic. So exercise and physical movement does change the way you're going to feel in your physiological state. So it's one of the best ways to do it, is to exercise. So step 5 now is establishing new beliefs about food and the right reasons for eating, and then repeating them until they become your new pattern. So this is very, very important to establish new beliefs. If you don't establish new beliefs, you're just using willpower. If you establish new beliefs, then it's going to be far. It's going to, you're going to, it's going to last. You're going to be able to do it for the long term. But without creating new beliefs, it's willpower and you'll go back. So why is it that certain eating behaviours are simply unthinkable for some people? Why is it virtually impossible for some people to eat certain foods? So for example, vegetarians with very strong beliefs are never, ever, ever tempted to eat meat. Now, they should eat meat because there's things in meat that every single person needs, and if we weren't meat eaters, we wouldn't be as advanced human race as we are today. So they should, but they've got very strong beliefs. No matter what I say or no matter anyone says, they're not going to eat meat. It's because of the beliefs. Same with non-drinkers who have got strong beliefs about this. They won't ever be tempted by wine or alcohol at all. And again, with elite athletes as well, they won't be tempted to break the diet regimes or the exercise regimes because it's their belief. They believe deep down with everything that they have to do this thing. And that's what you need to do, is change your beliefs to good beliefs, because the beliefs you've got at the minute are bad beliefs, which are affecting your weight, affecting your life, affecting your health. So you need to change these beliefs. Now, it's not going to happen without putting a conscious effort in. You have to consciously change these beliefs. It's not just going to think, oh, I believe eating food is healthy, and it's going to think, and you've got to repeat it over and over again, because all the beliefs you've had in the past have happened more so since you were a child, and they've happened over years and years and years. So you have to repeat these time and time again so it becomes in. So you really have to change these beliefs to be more positive about food in your body. So it is just very important to valuing different things than what you have at the minute. So at the minute you've been valuing like the feeling of you get from the chocolate, the feelings you get from the alcohol as well, and that's what you've been valuing. But you need to change your values. You've got to change your values to your health, to your body, how the way you look. So changing that, changing your beliefs is going to really help you long term in getting over these emotional eating patterns. So some good beliefs to have: good food is construction material, and what you eat is building material for your muscles and all the cells in your body. So that's a good one to have, rather than saying, for example, that you need food to feel better. Food is a construction material for your body and it helps you build and feel better. Or next one, good food is fuel, and you'll only be as energetic as the fuel you put into your bodily engine. So if you're putting bad fuel into it, bad foods, you're not going to be energetic and you're going to feel like rubbish. If you're putting good foods into it, then you're going to feel better. So if you've got this belief, you're going to be more likely to put good foods in your body. Also, a good one to have is, when I eat good food and small frequent meals, it stokes up your metabolic furnace. So if you're eating small good foods often, you're going to burn fat faster. That's a good belief to have as well. Also, food is the most powerful drug on the planet. It really is, because you have it multiple times per day, and good food contains every nutrient I need for perfect health. So if you've got beliefs about that good food is good for perfect health, it's going to help you as well. Also, healthy food that helps you burn fat and build muscle can be prepared in delicious ways. Now, so a lot of people have beliefs that eating healthy is boring. If you believe eating healthy is boring, you're going to think being healthy is boring, but it's really not. There's so many delicious ways to prepare food, and so look into all this cooking. Look for recipes and things so you can cook the healthy food in delicious ways. If you believe you can make it into delicious food, then you can do. If you don't believe it, you're just going to make boring foods. But there's plenty of delicious foods out there. Also, not during this program, because you have to be 100% perfect, apart from your cheat meals. But after the program, you don't have to be 100% perfect. Just 90% of the time is going to help you maintain your results. So if you believe, I don't have to be perfect, however, if I eat healthy, natural, fat burning and muscle building foods 90% of the time or more, I will get good results and I'll maintain your results. Now, people think, they often fall off because they think they have to be 100% perfect. Now, if you think that, it's going to be hard, because no one's 100% perfect. But if you think all they have to do is be 90% perfect and maintain your results, then you're going to be far more likely to stick to it. It's not be on a diet or be off. It's a lifestyle change, remember. Yes, there's 8 weeks, I want you to be perfect so you lose the biggest amount of weight. But then after this, it's a lifestyle change, so it's not going straight back or following this. It's not one or the other. It's eating healthy long term. Also, having a healthy body is very important. You place high value on your health, and therefore, health must be a high priority in your life, and everything must depend around your health. So if you don't have good health, then you can't have anything. If you're not healthy, you won't be able to drive your nice cars, you won't be able to live in nice houses, you won't be able to go to work. So your health is one of the most important things. So these are just a few examples of beliefs to have, but you have to change the beliefs you've got at the minute about eating food when you're stressed, eating food when you're upset and lonely, to good beliefs that's going to empower you to eat good for the rest of your life. So if you've got any of these 10 common reasons for emotional eating, it's very important you become aware of them, and then you start putting things in place. So if you're obtaining food for good feelings, for comfort, boredom, out of habit, social reasons, stressful events, to fill a void of missing, feeling lonely, to recapture a feeling, to cope with depression, to cope with other feelings such as anger, loneliness, frustration, disappointment, grief, lack of control, anxiety, make sure you use these 5 steps to help you. So become aware that it's happening. Once you become aware, which you should do by me talking about it, watch out for the thoughts as well. Watch out for these emotions. Watch out for the trigger patterns. If you see them creeping on, intercept them before you act on it. So intercept it and think to yourself, is this good or is this bad? It's bad, so don't do it. Make a conscious effort not to do it. And then replace these old emotions about eating with alternatives. So exercise, maybe read a book, speak to your friends and family about it. You've got to replace it. If you don't replace it, it's going to come back. But you've got to become aware, watch out, intercept it, and then replace it. And then the most important thing is then establish new beliefs. If you don't establish new beliefs, again, you're going to go back. You can only act on the beliefs you have. So you have to believe good things about food, believe that eating food is going to help your body, it's nutritious. And you've got to also have bad beliefs, believe that if you eat bad food, if you eat chocolate, if you eat alcohol, it's going to make you feel rubbish. So if you believe that, that's good as well. So you've got to have good beliefs about empowering you, and then try and have bad beliefs about your old habits. So encourage yourself to think bad about these eating chocolate, think bad about having alcohol. So if you believe that chocolate and drinking alcohol is going to give you cancer, you're not going to want to have them. But believe that eating healthy food, vegetables, fruits, meats, they're going to make you feel better, they're going to make you look good. Believe that, and then you're going to stick to it. So week 7, what we're doing on week 7 is we are intermittent fasting this week, and you're going to be eating 4 meals per day for your metabolism burning type as well. So you're going to be doing a 24-hour fast for this intermittent fasting this week. So what is intermittent fasting? Well, intermittent fasting is a name given to the practice of occasionally going for extended periods without eating. And we actually use it every day when we're sleeping. So fasting is completely different. You might go for weeks and months, but intermittent fasting is just occasional periods without food. It can be from a few hours to 24 hours to a couple of days, but it shouldn't be longer than a few days because that's not good for you. But intermittent fasting does have its benefits. So why am I recommending intermittent fasting when I've been advocating 5 to 6 meals at the start of the program and eating regular? Well, eating 5 to 6 meals per day works with your environment, but it's not your physiology. So it stops you from cheating on your diet because you've eaten regular, you're not going to get cravings, you're not going to get hungry, and it works that way. But it doesn't work with your physiology. It also allows you to replenish nutrients, control your blood sugar, control your appetite, lower insulin, which are all very important in the start of a diet, because if you're not replenishing your nutrients by eating regular, you're not going to get healthier quicker. So the quicker you get healthy by eating more good foods, the quicker you're going to lose weight. It's also going to control your blood sugar, control your appetite, and lower insulin. However, we're not designed for 5-6 meals per day. It's very good to do at the start of a diet, and there I definitely recommend it, eating regular, but it's not how your body's designed to to wear. So many people in today's culture can't voluntarily abstain from food when it's cheap, tasty and convenient. So because if I said eat two meals a day or one meal a day at the store, you would just have crazy cravings because your nutrients aren't replenished, your vitamins aren't replenished, you haven't controlled your blood sugar, you've got a crazy appetite, your hormones are in balance. However, now everything's should be more in balance, then it's going to be a lot easier to stay away from food. Now, we are programmed through our ancient physiology to eat whenever food is available, and since food is almost always available, we'll almost constantly eat. So that's why I say eat 5-6 meals per day, to stop that, to stop going to our natural instincts of eating. So now, intermittent fasting is nothing new. Humans have fasted for most of their history, whether it's during the typical overnight period, during more extended periods of food scarcity, like during the World War, or even for religious reasons as well. Our bodies are designed for a feast and famine approach, so that they are. And the physical act of eating is actually quite stressful to the body. When the body is continually working to break down food you provided it, it takes its toll on your body and the digestive system. And when you're digesting foods and it's having to do it, your body doesn't heal as well. So you need to give your body time to rest and recover, and your digestive system as well. If you all keep continuously putting 5 to 6 meals in your body per day, it's going to take its toll. And after all, full digestion of food usually takes 18 to 24 hours, but can take up to 72 hours. So why do you need to eat regular? Yes, I already said for the mental and getting good foods into your body, but now everything in your body, your hormones are going to be more balanced, vitamins and minerals are stocked up, so we don't need to be eating as regular anymore. Also, it just takes 6 to 8 hours just for your food to pass through the stomach. So if you're eating frequently, it can create a backlog of digesting foods. And there's been studies showing that every snack you have can delay your stomach emptying by 8 hours. So if it's food in your stomach and it hasn't emptied, you put more food in. It doesn't empty any of that stomach for another 8 hours. So you don't need to eat this regular. So eating 5 to 6 meals per day works very well. However, as it works against our physiology, our body eventually adapts to it. And then once it adapts to it, it doesn't work as well and you won't lose as much weight, which is why we've been calorie meal cycling throughout the program as well, and why we're going to use intermittent fasting as well, because our body adapts to eating 5-6 meals per day. If it adapts to it, you're not going to see as good results. Our bodies are well tuned to adapt to any situation, so eventually fat loss will slow down eating 5 to 6 meals per day. So that's what we're doing, we're tricking our body to not adapt. So once it slows down, we need to make a change. Now, benefits of short-term fasting is its ability to reduce your glycogen stores, which is your sugar stores, forcing the body to tap into its fat stores more readily when you engage in exercise and activity so you can burn more fat. It's also good for detoxification as well from short-term fasting. Similar benefits to the ketosis protocol that we're doing on week 6 as well. So when you go through ketosis, breaks down all your glycogen so you can burn fat. Same with fasting as well, you can burn more fat whilst you're fasting. Now, fasting must be done properly as well, and when it is done properly, it's been shown to help extend life, regulate blood sugar, control blood lipids, reduce triglycerides and LDL cholesterol, your bad cholesterol, reduce inflammation, help manage your body weight, improve fat burning, gain or maintain your muscle mass as well, improve cellular repair and improve appetite control. If it's done properly, if it's done badly, it can have massive negative effects. If you're not eating healthy and you haven't restocked all your vitamins and mineral levels, haven't balanced all your hormones, then intermittent fasting is just terrible for people. But you've been eating healthy now for 6 weeks and all your vitamin and minerals will be restocked through varying the foods, eating a big portion, your hormones will be balanced again, you're going to be learning to control your appetite more, getting controlling your hunger, energy and cravings. So when this is all starting to get controlled, intermittent fasting is great for you. It can really help boost the fat burning. Now, short-term fasting raises your human growth hormone levels and resensitizes the body to its metabolic hormones. So when eating resumes again, the metabolism is far more efficient than it was, and you can even build muscle faster through fasting as well, because human growth hormone helps you to build muscle, and as it is released during short-term fasting, it can even help you to build muscle. So current research has shown that some of these benefits may only be realized after longer periods of fasting. So that's around 20 to 24 hours to see the benefits of intermittent fasting. So these overnight fasts that we've done when we've been going 4 meals, 2 meals, 4 meals, we've been preparing you for these bit longer 24 hour fasts, because if I just throw you straight in there, you're not used to it. You've got to prepare mentally, get used to not eating my foods. Otherwise, if I just threw this in straight away, you would find it like torture. You've done some 16 hour fasts in the past when you've been doing the 2 meals, 4 meals. So it's not going to be as hard to do a 24 hour fast like this week. And also, if you do exercise, it may only take 16 to 18 hours. So if you exercise during a fast, it's going to improve your results and help you burn fat and have more benefits. Studies have shown that people live longer when they eat less calories, and it also slows down the aging process. So if you use intermittent fasting, not all the time, but use it occasionally, you're going to have less calories overall. It's going to slow down the aging process, because when you eat foods, your body doesn't have time to regenerate and repair. So times without food, when you're fasting or not eating as much, the body can mobilize its resources away from digestion of food to repair and regeneration. So you've got your rest and digest when you're parasympathetic. So if it's not digesting foods, it can repair. If it is digesting foods, eating 5 to 6 meals per day, every single day, it's just going to be digestion, digestion, digestion. Your body's not being able to repair. So if you have periods without food in your body, it can take its resources from that digestion and start repairing and regenerating your body. So intermittent fasting, now it may seem hard to believe, but during periods of starvation during World War II, those who had their calorie intake reduced had improvement in diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and it was also noted that they did not age as much, and this was studied by the late Dr. Roy Wolford. Now, it could be from various reasons. It could have been because they weren't eating bad foods when they weren't eating, but it could just be because they weren't eating bad foods, so they weren't aging and they weren't intaking things that were causing cancer. Or it could be because they weren't eating not many calories. But whatever the reason why, it's shown that if you're eating less calories or not eating bad foods, you're going to live longer and you're not going to age. So fasting is not for everyone, so people think anyway. So, but for people who have busy lives, then they might struggle at fasting at first, like if you're a doctor and you need to do operations and stuff. It's going to be very hard, because you do need your energy and you might need it if you've got a busy lifestyle. So it is going to be very hard. So make sure you do, if you are going to do the fasting, don't do it when you're going to need energy, because last thing you want is to be in an important situation and not have as much energy. Because when you're first getting used to fasting, it is going to be hard to get used to, but it is good to do and you will get used to it. But make sure you do it at a time where it's not going to affect your job and your life or anything like that. Now, people with impaired metabolisms or close to diabetes are going to struggle the most, and these are the people who are overweight, which is why I didn't get you to fast at the start of the program, because if you are overweight, you're going to struggle. By now, you'll have lost a load of weight, so it's going to be far, far easier to do the fasting and get the benefits from it. So also, a large population of people get irritable when they don't eat for long periods of time. They become weak, shaky, irritable, get headaches, and this is known as hyperglycemia. So this happens to some people on low-carb diets as well, because they're used to getting lots of sugar. So it's when they haven't got much sugar in the body, they're just going to feel a bit rubbish. But after a while, your body gets used to it. So by eating for your burnout type and going through all what we've been through before, this is going to help. We've got over the type of glycemia. So when you do the fast, it's not going to be anywhere near as bad. Also, people think hunger is an emergency and panic when it kicks in, but hunger is just a feeling. Now, the reason we got hungry was to go out and to hunt. It wasn't to eat straight away. So when we get hungry, it's just a sign to go and find food. It doesn't actually mean we need to eat it. It was just our survival mechanism to make sure we went and hunted for food. So when we do need it, we've got it. So don't worry if you feel hungry. That's completely fine now. Often people think they're hungry, they think they need it for physiological reasons for the body, but it's not. It's more the hunger for psychological, it's more in the head they think they need the food. After all, look at how much fat's on your body. Your body can use that for energy, so it can break down its own stores. And that's what we want to tap into, is breaking down our fat stores for energy, which is why we're using the fat. So it's your body's not going to break down by not eating, but it's the psychological what people struggle with. So why we can fast and why everyone can fast? Well, it takes 18 to 24 hours to digest food properly. So why do you need to eat every 5 to 6 hours? Now, during the first 6 to 24 hours of avoiding food, your body will start to use up all the sugar and glycogen, and then it'll switch to using the stored fat and protein once it's run out. So that's when you're going to start burning them fat once all this glycogen's out. So that's why we're doing ketosis last week, and that's why we're doing the intermittent fasting, to get rid of that glycogen to help you burn fat. From research findings, performance levels during strength training and low intensity aerobic work is mostly unaffected for up to 3.5 days in a fasted state. So it's not going to affect you. Yes, it might affect you mentally and you don't think you can do as much, but actually physically you'll still be able to train as hard, and it's not going to affect you by doing a fast, especially during a 24 hour fast as well. Now, if you do exercise, often you want to exercise more when you're fasting. I know I've done a 3-day fast before, and I actually wanted to exercise more, and I enjoyed me training more at the end of the 3-day fast when I'd done it. So don't think you can't exercise during a fast. It actually has massive benefits, exercising during the fast, for fat, losing fat and just making you feel better as well. If you exercise, you won't feel hungry. Also, there's no decrease in metabolic rate until 60 hours of being in a fasted state. So that's 2.5 days. So yes, if you fast long term, your metabolic rate slows down. Same if you're eating very low calorie diets for day in, day out, it slows down. But it takes 60 hours to start decreasing your metabolic rate. So if we fast for 24 hours, 30, even 2 days, it's not going to slow down our metabolism, as long as we get back into eating straight after eating good foods, eating healthy. Studies of modern day hunter-gatherers as well suggest humans in natural conditions only ate once per day after gathering or hunting food for all day. This means they didn't have breakfast, no lunch, rest, snack, and they might have picked as well along, but they only eat the thing that they only eat once a day. So we don't need to eat as much as we do. Yes, it's great at the start of the diet, definitely recommend it, but now everything, your hormones, vitamins, minerals, everything's starting to balance, now you don't have to eat as much. So fasting is for everyone. As long as you have a healthy metabolism, fasting will not cause you any physiological problems. This is why we've spent the first few weeks fixing your metabolism, so you can fast. So you don't need to rely on food all the time. So you don't have to rely on it mentally, and you don't need to rely on it physically. When you're eating less, you can burn more fat and use your fat stores for energy. That's what I want. We don't want you to be a sugar burner, where you're burning sugar for energy. We want you to be burning your fat stores and using that for energy. You've got lots of it stored in your body. Even people who are ripped have lots of fat on the body. So that's what we want to burn through, our fat stores. People believe they need to get energy from food to get them through the day. People believe they need food to get them through stressful situations, but you really don't. To get you through the day, you've got all these fat stores on your body can use, and to get you through stressful situations, use other things. Exercise, talk to your friends and family, use other methods. Use some of the methods in the life coaching task to get you through these stressful situations as well. Now, science shows there are no negative effects not eating until the 24 hour mark, and even at the 24 hour mark, it's only breaking down protein and fat for energy, and that's the only negative thing. But that's a good thing, because we want you to break down proteins and fats to help you lose fat and help you lose weight, so we can go to 72 hours before any real negative impact occurs. So you can go up to 3 days. Don't fast any longer than that. 24 hours once in a while is good. 36 hours once every so often is good, but don't go fasting for long periods. This is when the negative things start happening. In general, long-term fasting is not a useful technique to use to burn fat. not because it doesn't work, it's because it's not sustainable, and most people end up binging afterwards. So after this program, if you want to do a fast, a 24 or 36 offer, do it once a week maximum. That's the maximum you should do it. Ideally, just do a fast once a month. Eat healthy the rest of the time. Eat fast, have a fast once a month just to get the benefits of it, but you don't need to do it regular, never more than once a week. So there are many benefits to intermittent fasting, including, many methods of intermittent fasting, many ways to do it, including alternate day fasting, not a very good way, you fast too much, random meal skipping, the warrior diet, which is 20-hour fast, and then a 4-hour refeed, you do that every day, the fast 5, which is 19-hour fast, 5-hour refeed, overnight fasting, which we've already done of 16 hours, only eating one meal per day, it's fasting the rest of the day. So 24-hour fasting as well, there's 36-hour fasting, and there's 48-hour fasting as well. I'll never do longer than 48 hours, that's a maximum. I've done it for 3 days, but I wouldn't recommend going more than 48 hours. Now, my preferred methods are overnight fasting, which we've used when you're meal cycling between two meals and four meals. 24-hour fasting and 36 hours are my favourite methods, preferred methods. So these are the ones we're going to use throughout this program. Now, as long as you're eating fresh, all natural foods the rest of the time on fasting, it can help you lose weight. Now, if you're eating crap foods the whole time, there's diets out there which recommend losing crap, but they're not healthy for you. Now, I've done diet in the past where I lost weight, eating rubbish foods, and actually, my body got unhealthy. I might have lost weight, but my body had higher cholesterol from losing weight. But it's just because I was eating foods with high in chemicals and lots of junk food. But I've done it in a specific way, manipulating my hormones, helped us lose weight. But at the end of it, I wasn't healthy at all. So you want to lose weight, but you want to do it healthy. So you have to be eating lots of good foods as well. Now, most people come off a fast by eating everything in sight. So they haven't made for 24 hours or however long, and they just want to eat everything they can get their hands on. So it's important not to do that. Control yourself after having a fast. Now, you can have a cheat meal before a fast, but you should never have it after a fast. Having a cheat meal before increases your leptin, so you can lose weight faster during the fast. But if you have a fast and then eat a cheat meal, it's just going to store it. So cheat meal before fast, never after. You can use branched chain amino acids during the fast as well to help with preventing muscle loss. And fasting is not torturing yourself. If you feel ill, then eat. If you feel hungry, then don't eat, because when you're hungry, that's releasing more human growth hormone to help you lose weight as well. It's helping with your hormones and stuff. There is benefits to feeling hungry. If you feel ill, then eat. It's not torture. It's good for your body. If you're feeling hungry, that's fine. But if you're actually feeling ill, getting headaches, feeling ill, then just eat. Benefits of intermittent fasting, there's lots of them. It lowers your glycogen, increases glucagon so you can burn fat faster, lowers leptin. Now, that's not a good thing, which is why we'll have a cheat meal before it, because we don't want low leptin. Want higher leptin, which is why you only intermittent fast for short periods and you get back to eating foods to boost that leptin back up again. So it does lower it, which is a bad thing, but you can lose a lot more weight during a fast, boost your leptin back up by eating foods before the fast so you can lose weight during it. And once you get back into your normal eating after a fast, that leptin will go back up and you can carry on losing weight again. But it does lower your insulin, which is a very good thing, because most people produce too much insulin, and it resensitizes all your hormone receptors as well, so it just helps balance your hormones. It's like a hormone reset fast, and just like sleep is a hormone reset, so is a fast for 24 hours or 36 hours. It improves insulin sensitivity, decreases, desensitizes ghrelin, your hunger hormone, so you're not going to feel as hungry. Yes, you might then, but the more times you go through periods without eating, you're not going to release as much ghrelin, so you won't feel as much hungry. It releases human growth hormone, which helps you to burn fat and build muscle. It improves your mental performance through the release of catecholamines as well, so you'll actually have better mental clarity during a fast. You'll have a better stable energy rather than peaks and crashes. If you can become more used to not relying on food, you'll have better energy overall. You won't have peaks and crashes as you do when you eat too regular. It reduces triglycerides and LDL cholesterol, decreases your blood pressure, reduces inflammation. So if anyone's got joint pain or gets any pain in the body, if you can reduce inflammation, it's going to reduce overall pain in your body as well. gives your digestive system a chance to rest or improves your digestive system. If it's working too much, your digestive system, it's going to become tired, it's going to get backlogged, so giving it a rest is great. It trains your mind not to rely on foods as well for certain situations. You really don't need food to get you over these stresses, to get you through bad situations. You don't. You just need to think better, think more positive to get through them. Don't rely on food. Rely on exercise. Do exercise to help you get through any stressful situation. And it also slows down the aging process and increases life expectancy by not eating as much and using intermittent fasting. But remember, don't do it all the time. Once a week is the maximum. So week 7, eat 4 meals per day for your metabolic burner type. Pick one day where you do a 24-hour fast. And it's best starting at 8 p.m. on the night time till 8 p.m. the next day. So make sure your last meal of them 4 meals at 8 o'clock. Don't eat for 24 hours till the next day at 8 p.m. Now if you do it morning to morning, it's harder to get through. But if you do it from the night time till the next morning, till the next night, is far easier to get through. Now if you have a cheap meal, the cheat meal that you have must be the last meal before you start your fast. So you can't have a cheat meal any day. This week it has to be the last meal before you have a fast. By having that cheat meal, it's going to boost your leptin levels so you can lose weight faster during that 24-hour fast. So the 8 p.m. before you start your fast, that's your cheat meal. One cheat meal, don't go back for any snacks or anything. And having the cheat meal is actually going to psychological relief from the diet and psychologically help you get through that fast as well. So eat one meal on the evening you come off your fast. So the 8 o'clock that you come on the fast, eat the one meal, healthy meal, try and make it low in carbs. Just meat and veg is perfect. If you want to do food burner type, that's fine, but meat and veg would be perfect. One meal, not a meal and a snack, just one meal. Go to bed and then go back into your 4 meals per day for the next day. During the fast, you may have up to 5 or 6 branched chain amino acids at the times you would eat. And you may also drink herbal tea, but nothing with any calories in it. So these are the only things you can have. And drink lots and lots of water, 4 to 5 litres of water a day. And exercise as much as possible during the fast. If you can exercise once or twice in the day, morning and night, walk as much as possible. The more active you are during this fast, the more fat you're going to burn as well, because it's going to get rid of them glycogen stores quicker and allow you to tap into your fat stores as well. So exercise as much as you can during this week. So don't forget, eat protein at every meal, eat fresh whole natural organic foods like I say every week, drinking 3.5 liters of water. Drink more during your fast though. Vary the foods you eat so you get lots of vitamins and minerals into your body. Keep varying. At this point in the diet, people can tend to eat the same foods. If you haven't had a food so far on the diet, go out there and eat it. Prepare your meals in advance, your 7-day meal plan. Prepare your cheat meal so you can look forward to it as well. Put that in there. Know what you're going to have so you can look forward to it. Don't go crazy with this cheat meal. Have something you've been craving. Anything you want. No alcohol, but any foods you want. Keep your food diary. Keep filling in your Empower Journal. Very important. Helps you train mentally. Keeps you on track. And just keeps you into a habit of eating healthy as well and knowing what you're eating as well. Keep filling in that daily check record card as well so you can make changes if foods aren't working for you and you're ticking the bad boxes. You can make changes and all the good meals. Sleep for 8 hours. Be asleep by 10 p.m. at least 5 nights of the week. It's a hormone reset. You're going to feel better. And reduce stress as well. So remember, don't forget these. I talk about them every week, but they're very, very important for the program. So that's it for week 7. It's eating 4 meals per day for your burner type, doing a 24-hour fast, but before you do your 24-hour fast, have a cheat meal as well. But make sure, I've been talking about the emotional eating as well. If you need to go over it a bit more, have a watch through this video again. Fast forward to the emotional eating part. Go through it a few times. Just remember, going through them 5 steps is going to help you emotionally eat. Now, during the program, you might not need to because you're going to be motivated by this 8 weeks to get a good result, especially with 2 weeks left. But after this 8-week program, and then you're not following this specific program, you're going to need to use these tools for the emotional eating in other ways so you don't go back to your other diets. So you do carry on eating for the rest of your life. So go out there, create these beliefs, create good beliefs. You'll be doing them in the life coaching tasks. So if you've been following the life coaching tasks, you're going to be doing all these tasks to create good beliefs, which is going to help you maintain the results for you the rest of your life. So make sure you've been doing them as well. Remember, if you need any help, go into the Facebook group, ask me some questions, but if you need any help, make sure you've filled in your Empower Journal. So that's it for this week. You've got this week and one more week left, and that's the end of the program, so keep it going. 2 more weeks to go, and I'm sure you're going to completely change your body by the end of it.